Hey, what's going on, my yayas? I pray that everything is well with you all. This is just a little check-in with you all for the month of January as we go and celebrate MLK Day at the time of this. And some of you may hear this even afterwards. As you're listening to this, I'm actually on my way home from work. I have been very, very, very busy. And as many of you know, I am currently on break right now from doing a whole lot of heavy podcasting due to some things that are starting up for me, doing some much needed self-care, as I mentioned in a previous episode. And also because I run three podcasts, it's imperative that I take a break. Many of you also know that I have Melanated Memoirs. Melanated Memoirs just wrapped up. However, you can go back and listen to my audio drama, Elisa's Treasure. And I absolutely love that audio drama. That has been a catharsis for me as I seek to heal from trauma in the past and seeking to just release all of the pain. I'm learning that when you create from certain places, that gives you the release that you need. So many of you all are wondering, well, why isn't Yannick coming out with new episodes right now? I'm focusing my attention on career and some things coming up in 2020. I can't speak on some things right now, but the priestess, never your mistress, has some great things that's coming for you in 2020. And I'm very excited. Have some musical things, some acting things, various things for you all. So one of the things that I am trying to do is not come off as the angry trans person, the angry black person, the angry queer person, the angry period in my podcast. So in that time, I'm also reevaluating some things as well. So it's okay to reevaluate. It is okay to reevaluate things in your life. And that helps you so much. And right now, my life is busy. Life is busy. I have a 9-to-5 as well as podcasting and doing music. So with the 9-to-5, things have been kind of hectic. So I'm trying to get things evened out with life. You know, that happens sometimes. So a lot of times the quality of my podcast may be a little different because I am recording in my car, recording remotely instead of going into the studio. And I want to say thank you all to my ride or dies over on my channel at Rumble. Thank you so much. Rumble is an app that has really helped me to, whereas YouTube couldn't, it really has helped me in my life. And I'm so grateful and thankful for Rumble. So that app can be downloaded on the Apple Store, the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store. It's R-U-M-B-L. Again, that's R-U-M-B-L. And it's great. Many people have heard my voice, and it has been a great blessing. And when you all get a chance, please check out Melanated Memoirs. Melanated Memoirs is my baby. And if you want to be a part of Melanated Memoirs, please email me, btransbpodcast@gmail.com. I'll love you forever. And if you have topics for future episodes, my intent right now is to come back sometime during March. We'll see how everything goes. I'm working on some ideas. The podcast may be coming to you bi-weekly. I'm working on some things because I have so many things planned for 2020. And I want to make sure that I'm not overworking myself. So many times we can work ourselves into a frenzy because I found out that this grind culture will really kill you if you ain't careful. I'm just serious. If you ain't careful, it will really kill you if you're not careful. So with that being said, I'm going to take a quick break. After I come back, yes, I am going to talk about Tyler Perry's A Fall From Grace. It may make some people upset at how I feel, but I really don't care. Okay, this is my podcast. I talk about what I want to. So, y'all, stay tuned, sit back, max out, relax. Your girl's gonna be right back with you. Love you. Here's a word from our sponsor. Hey fam, what's going on? I want to thank you all for your love and support of Black Trans and Beautiful, as well as my other ventures. I do want to let you all know that I do have music available. Yes, I sing and I do music. Check out my single, Sustaining, my song, Unwanted, my EP, Yannick's House, Volume 1, all on Bandcamp. You can find that at yannicktaylor.bandcamp.com, as well as Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Google Music, anywhere that you stream and or download music. I love you so much, and I want to share my gift of music with you and share it with your friends as well. This will make the perfect Valentine's Day gift for your significant other or just to spice out your life. So check the show notes for all links and information. Live, love, and be free from the priestess. Smooches! Okay, now I am back. I am back. Now, let me start off with this preface. Many of you all are aware that Mr. Perry, Tyler Perry, earlier in 2020, the year ain't even started off good, and he pissed the ancestors and everybody off by showing the millions of scripts that he has written for past shows, current shows, plays, and upcoming things. So he says, well, I don't have a writer's room. Bruh, it shows. And you know, last year during the summer, he opened up his new Black Hollywood studio, and I'm gonna call it. And while I am proud of Tyler Perry, for me, he's kind of braggadocious and showing the sin of hubris, because I honestly feel that it is okay to collaborate with other writers. Bruh, you need a writer's room, because your movies are your plays blended in with a hint of variation or embellishment on the storyline, or some of your plays and movies blend in with each other and they become predictable. Now, don't get me wrong, I am proud of Tyler Perry because he's very accomplished, but I feel that if you had other people on your team, they could take you higher. And with a vision, you cannot always execute the vision by yourself. You have to have people to help you. Now, before you all get started and jump down my back, yes, he does employ Black people. I will give him that. He's giving people their big break. However, anytime there's backlash, he does something for the community instead of owning up to the doo-doo that he put on the road and then stepped in it. Yes, I said it. So, on January 17th, he released a new movie on Netflix called A Fall from Grace. And it stars Crystal Fox as the title character. You may have known her from back in the day from playing one of the cops on In the Heat of the Night. You may know her from various films, but she's most recently been known for playing as Hannah on his show, The Haves and Have Nots. And I must say, Crystal Fox slays her role as Grace, a divorcee who's wondering where her life has gone all these years. Her son has gone off and gotten married, and she's good friends with this woman named Sarah, played by Felicia Rashad. And we also have Makad Brooks, however you pronounce his name, playing as love interest Shannon, with other characters as well. And some of these characters has been in Tyler Perry plays as well. And I'm not going to get too far on the actors' names because I can't remember everybody's names. And yes, Tyler Perry does play as a guy named Roy. So the movie, I like the plot, but there are a lot of loopholes for this movie to be 2 hours long. That's 2 hours of my life that I can never get back. I'm just saying. So the movie opens up and you have a woman, and you're going to see later on in this review how all of this plays together in the movie. And I'm sorry, yes, it's going to have spoilers. So if you haven't watched it yet, go watch it, then come back to the priestess. Okay, okay, that's how we're going to do. So it opens up with Jasmine, an attorney for the public defender's office, or a lawyer for the public defender's office. And she's been handed the case of Grace Waters, who's been accused of killing her husband. Okay? And she goes in, and she's known for pleading cases out. And Tyler Perry gives her a hard time in prepping the case. And with Tyler Perry's character, like any of his work, any of the male characters, it's a lot of misogyny and patriarchy. And I absolutely hate how he depicts black women, of course, as needy, as confused, as broken. What about a strong woman who doesn't need a man, or a strong woman that's out here doing the damn thing? Excuse me. So Grace is the successful banker, high up on the rank. And she's murdered her husband. Mind you, she is a divorcee, saying her husband is living better than she is. And she's trying to figure out, what the hell do I do with my life right now? So in the progress of the story, Jasmine meets with her, and she's just determined that she is going to, Grace is determined to plead guilty. She's very determined to plead guilty because she's hurt, she's scorned, you know, you know, she knows that there's no way out because of the hand that's been dealt to her. So Jasmine goes and she meets with some of her colleagues from the public defender's office. It's an open and shut case, so we think. But Jasmine starts looking at the evidence photos and notice something is off. Blood spatter isn't right, things like that. And Jasmine's husband is a cop. And in the prior to us meeting Jasmine, her husband, who's a fine, light-skinned man, honey. Yes, God. He is trying to coax a woman from jumping off of the roof of a house. And she says, I gave him everything. I gave him everything, and he left me with nothing. And this is an older woman, and we don't know if she's going through a nasty divorce or if her husband used her or whatever happened. But she jumps at a cop, a helicopter comes, and he's like, get that copter out of here. And she throws herself off of the roof. And we flip to him getting home, talking to Jasmine and caressing her. Obviously, he is traumatized by this. And she says, you know, you're going to tell me about it later, that type of thing. The typical Tyler Perry shit. And it proceeds, and she gets the case. So, in examining the case, she decides that instead of pleading, she wants to know more about Grace. She goes and meets with Grace. She and Grace are talking, and it's a lot of action I may not be able to cover because I saw it, and you know how it is when you're reviewing a movie. She goes in, and she was like, I'm looking at your file. She was like, you helped the homeless. You made cookies for kids. You sang in the choir. You were an upright citizen. You had a great job. You have no priors or anything. So what happened? And Grace gets witty and starts talking to her telling her, she was like, oh, you're Catholic, you pray the rosary. And it shows a scene where Grace is praying, I'm guessing in the Catholic Church, but the way her, in a future scene, it shows her in a regular Protestant church, which I'm not understanding. And I'm guessing it had to do with the religious experience, which that was another loophole. But that's going to play into relevance. So she meets with Grace again and tries to get her to tell her her story so she can come up with a reasonable defense, because she's trying to get her 15 years with a chance of parole for killing her husband. So we see that she sees something going on with the case, and she goes in. She has a change of heart. Instead of pleading this out, she's going to take it to trial. And she and Grace start talking. Grace tells her the story of how she came to be in prison for killing her husband. There's this guy named Shannon. So what happened? He's a photographer. How she comes to meet him, her best friend of 6 years, Sarah, played by Felicia Rashad. She's up there and she's saying, you know, I'm a successful banker. You know, I went through a divorce. And she's talking to, and you see Jasmine going to meet with Sarah as well to try to get an idea of the case, because it's just been handed to her. And we also see infighting with one of her colleagues, Donnie, as is because he's a man, he can do the case much better. And he's trying to be very pro-black, whereas it's saying that black women don't care about other black women, whereas black men does. And I found that to be very problematic in this, because I'm like, Tyler Perry, that's my thing with a lot of his work. He shows black women sometimes incapable. And Jasmine gets frustrated with the case because it's so much pressure. It's high profile. They can't afford to do all this other stuff and craziness that's going on. And Tyler Perry's character, Roy, says, you know, just plead it out. It's an open and shut case. But when she starts examining the case, she sees so much more. And she finally starts dealing with Sarah, played by Felicia Rashad, and she starts telling her about how Grace had been divorced and how Grace was trying to figure out where she was going, and Sarah advised her to date. And Grace goes to an art exhibit for this photographer, and it was Sarah's photographer. Sarah says, oh, well, go to this art exhibit. That's where you can meet or find that you need to go out and date, da-da-da-da-da. And she goes out and she meets this guy, Shannon. He's a photographer. And they start talking about a painting on the wall. And he's like, he's flirting with her ferociously. He's like, the best lighting here is over here. But this is a friend's place. I don't want to tell her, a friend's mom's place. And I don't want to tell her that the place sucks or whatever he says. And he starts having dialogue with Grace and flirting with her and making her feel like a natural woman. The next day, he sends her flowers at her job, which I found to be very creepy. And she was like, and Grace is telling the story as well. She was like, he sent me flowers at my job, and I was wondering how he found me. And I'm just in awe because I haven't felt this way about a man in years. My son and I haven't been talking much since his wife came in the picture, and you know, I'm, you know, trying to figure out where my life is. My husband is living better than me. My son got married at my ex-husband's house, and they go on and on and on. You see this interaction with Sarah. It's like a flashback. And Sarah tells her, my life changed when I met Shannon, such a gentleman. Shows how they were in dealing with each other for 3 months. He takes her to a place where there's fireflies. And they're on this date. They go to a diner for their date and they're talking. And immediately he starts asking her about money, alimony, different things, which I'm like, that's a red flag. And she says, oh no, I pay for my house myself, da 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 da. Goes on, they continue to date, and she's burning the midnight oil and the candle at both ends, falling asleep at work. Like, really, you can see the unraveling of grace, so to speak. And he comes in, and he's taking pictures of her at work, handing her flowers, and they proceed to date, do their thing, and she's talking about how everything was a whirlwind. And one of the key things that stuck out to me, she talks about, I knew it was going to come up later, and I knew he wasn't active in church, but he did come to church with me. Granted, it wasn't his favorite place to be or whatever, but he came for the sake of me, and you can see him acting bored in church, like he really didn't want to be there. So Jasmine goes to talk to Sarah about the case, and she meets Felicia Rashad's character, and Felicia Rashad is like taking out the garbage. She's like, ooh, this is so heavy. And she's like, hi, I'm here to talk about Grace Waters. And she's going in there and talking to this woman, and all of a sudden you see Cicely Tyson come out of nowhere while the woman is going. She says, my girls haven't eaten yet. And I'm like, well, honey, who is your girls? Who are your girls? Who are your girls? And it leads you to believe that she's taking care of some youth. You hear a loud noise, or she's taking care of grandkids or something. That's not to be revealed yet. You don't get any foreshadowing. And, you know, she's sitting there. She's like, hey, how are, hey there. And it's Cicely Tyson, like a woman who's scared, who's been traumatized, not a dementia patient. This is going to be very important later on. And as the movie goes on, it makes its way to trial, and Tyler Perry is upset. Roy is upset. He's like, why are you taking this to trial? The public defender's office can't afford this. If you mess this up, you're going to get fired, and you'll never be a lawyer again. You won't be a lawyer anymore. And it's so taxing on her, on Jasmine's character, that she's like over it. She tells her husband, I just want to get these student loans paid off, and I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. I can't do this anymore. And her husband is consoling her and being there for her, looking out for her. And he finally tells her in this moment, so when you asked me what was wrong, I saw a woman jump to her death the other night. And it's totally glossed over. She was like, baby, I'm sorry. You know, I'm fine, you know. And she's showing her support, but it's like totally glossed over. Now, mind you, I did find out through media reports that he recorded this film over the guise of 5 days, and it shows. So, Grace ends up stopping in her story with her marrying Shannon. Now, Mercad Brooks is a fine man. I got to hand it to him. And the storyline goes on, and she goes into how they got married. He proposed to her, and it shows the wedding, the stereotypical wedding in movies. They're coming out of the church, throwing rice, and riding off happily ever after. And Grace goes on to say, she was like, I didn't know. She was like, all I could see was what he was showing me with his hand instead of what he had behind his back all this time. And I'm truncating a lot because there's a lot of unnecessary shit that Tyler Perry adds. This movie could have been an hour and a half, an hour and 10 minutes to be honest. But I get where he was going. He wrote it for Netflix. So we see that they're married and living together. The marriage seems to be going good until one night Grace goes and he's out of the bed. He's downstairs talking shirtless. Now, mind you, I like the view. He was kind of stocky in this, had them nipple rings and stuff and looking kind of good. And I'm like, yes, a Mayan. But anyway, he's the villain. I can't be like that, y'all. He goes in and she was like, who are you talking to? And he's saying, did you like the fireflies? And he's like, and she's like, who are you talking to? He's talking real low. And it's obvious that he's cheating on his wife. And he was like, one thing, Grace, I don't like is being asked questions, is being checked up on, and being asked questions. And I honestly thought he was going to hit her. And she was like, she cowers down, which you see a lot in Tyler Perry's movies. And she says, I just missed you, that's all. And you see him have a split personality moment. He says, I missed you too, you know. You know. He was like, I'm sorry, babe. She's like, I'm sorry. She takes the blame for the man's mess. Would you see Tyler Perry depicting his women in his movies as doing, taking the bullshit that their men dish out? And it really, really vexed me to see that. I'm like, Tyler, you could have did this so many different ways. Like, and she goes to work one day and she goes to work. She see all the corporate officers and her boss acts for her. And she didn't know what was going on. She's talking to Sarah about the situation. She was like, girl, Sarah, do you think he's cheating? She was like, I don't know, girl. I don't know. Probably just nothing, you know. And she's like, you know, just don't worry about it. Don't stress yourself, girl. You know, this is new. It's probably just nothing. And that's when her boss calls her in. Someone has hacked into Grace's accounts and has stolen money from the accounts that she was handling for this bank. She gets fired and threatened that if she don't return the money in X amount of days, that she's going to be prosecuted and thrown in jail. She doesn't know what could have happened. She thinks she was a victim of identity theft and different things like that. So she goes home. She's embarrassed. She calls her friend Sarah, and Sarah and her are talking, sitting at the table. And I'm going to come back. I'm going to take a brief break. Here's another church announcement for you all. Hey, what's up, my yayas? Now, with the Christmas holiday just passing and Valentine's Day coming up, many of us have gotten new phones and stuff. Honey, you need to protect your phone by going to getcasely.com. Honey, when I tell you, I got my case, a nice little plaid print, and it is sexy, darling. They have charging cases, all types of cases to fit your device, especially if you got the new iPhone 11 Pro or Pro Max or 11. Honey, use my code CASBTB to get 30% off of your purchase. So go ahead and go on over to Casely and get your case now. Welcome back. Okay. Now let's pick up where we left off in this fall from Grace. So what had happened was they were sitting at the table talking and Grace is confiding in Sarah. And she's like, girl, I can't believe they let me go like that. I didn't work hard for these people and they gonna treat me like that. And I know Grace was hurt. So who better than to go to than your best friend? Well,
she had been trying to call Shannon all day long, no answer. And he finally comes in. She says, where have you been? You've been with another woman, accusing him, da-da-da, yada, yada, yada. And she's still trying to figure out what is going on, you know, with, you know, her accounts and everything. So she's going in, and he was like, are you going to really sit here and talk to me in front of your friend like that? And she was like, she's my friend. I'm not going anywhere. And they're going back and forth. She says, well, she said, and Grace says, you know what, Sarah, go ahead. I got this. And she was like, are you sure, girl? Yeah, I'm sure. And she leaves. And her and Shannon go in and like having the conversation. And she's like, well, you know, where have you been? Did she like the fireflies as well? And Shannon is like, look, he hands her some pictures of some cancer patients, some kids. And he was like, I know you like stuff, doing stuff for the community. So I took these pictures for you and stuff as a way to kind of soften the blow. And she's like, baby, I'm sorry. And it's like this taking on the burden when she knows this man is cheating. And it's like, the red flags are here. This man is doing me wrong and cheating on me. But the sex is so good. I'm so lonely that I'm blind to the BS. And I hate that he's depicting her like that. It really pissed me off. And he does this every time. He does this in every movie. And what's so funny, when McCad Brooks' character Shannon goes to go up the stairs and turns around, you see a wire on his back. And I'm like, what? I know that ain't what I'm thinking it is. I'm like, what is this wire? Nobody else seems to have these wires. And I'm rewinding it back and looking every time he turns. And I'm like, those look like microphone wires or prop wires or something. Something is off. Not to mention the tacky ass wigs that he had on these people. I mean, the wigs were horrible. They look like something you would buy out of Party City. No offense to Party City. Y'all got good stuff. Or just look like something that's really built for a stage play, not so much as a movie. I mean, granted, Tyler Perry does everything himself, so I don't expect much more. You know? And it's just a mess. So the next day, Grace goes and she's going to figure out what's going on with her bank accounts. And apparently, someone has took out a second mortgage mortgage on her house. And she's trying to figure out what's going on. Her signature is on it. And she's trying to figure out. So she gets surveillance footage. And lo and behold, guess who's on it? Shannon. So she goes home. She's visibly shaken. And she's upset and pissed off. She said, you did this. You took a mortgage out on my house. I done paid for this house 4 years ago. Why would you do that? And it was an address beforehand that she went snooping around to see who signed this paperwork. And it was tracked back to 2989 Sycamore Drive, Sycamore Road, Sycamore Street, whatever it was. And she goes there trying to figure out what the hell is going on. Mind you, the trial is still going on. And all of this is like coming to fruition. And she's facing off with Shannon at this point. She says, you took out a mortgage on my house. Why would you do that? You know, overdrafting my bank accounts, everything. And then she starts putting two and two together. You hacked into my accounts. She was like, Shannon, give me the money back. I could go to jail. My job is going to send me to jail. You know, you're ruining my life. And he's like, that's our money. Have you not read the laws of the state? Let me put a pin right there. If you have not watched all of Tyler Perry's plays, there's a play that he did with Cheryl Pepsi Riley and Patrice Lovely. And it's a real good, it's an all right play. I ain't gonna tell no story. But I saw this, I actually have the play. And it's Hell Hath No Fury Like a Woman Scorned. And in this one, the man takes advantage of the woman. And she tortures him until she can get him out of her house, until she can have him sign the divorce papers and have, you know, have him out of her life. Now, the storyline is similar to that play. And even with that, the cheating and everything is so reminiscent to Diary of a Mad Black Woman till it's not even funny, honey. So he says, you know, that's our money. I needed the money to pay off some debts from some people that were not the right type of people hanging around. They're unsavory characters. She was like, just give me the money. And he's like, I can't. So for a time, you see a tussling and fighting between them. And she was like, just give me the money. So she goes upstairs. And my thing is, she's still with him. She tried to get him out the house, but the police couldn't do anything because they were still technically married. She called the police on him. So one night she was like, give me my money. He was like, give me an ashtray. And she takes off walking. And he's like, ashtray, bitch. And they have a perfect view of his feet, and it was nice, and showing his body and things. And y'all know I like those kind of things. I'm just being real. And that's when she calls the police. They really couldn't do anything because they were married. He's living their craziness. So she comes home one day, and he's in bed with another woman getting it in. And I hate how Tyler Perry depicted this woman as being so dumb. And she questions her. She says, was I so stupid that I allowed this to happen? Why did I allow myself to go through this? And the girl says, oh my gosh, was that your mom? He was like, my mama looked better than that. Throwing shade on the woman he married. So they have a conversation after the girl leaves. He says, and what killed me? He was like, put a lock on the door. What the fuck? I'm like, really? And it's like, he's portraying that downtrodden woman, the man that takes advantage of her doing whatever, however. When in reality, nowadays, a lot of women would have been and killed that man for what he did, okay? Let's be real. So the movie keeps going on, and they're sitting there talking. She says, Shannon, just give me the money. You know, why would you do this to me? And he says, women like you, older, alone, they're low-hanging fruit. And I felt that. I felt that in my soul, honey, when he said that. Because she was an easy target. She really was an easy target. And it's crazy how he just treated her like trash in this particular scene. And there he's talking and just trashing her, throwing her under the bus, making her feel less than. And finally, enough is enough, basically. So what ends up happening while he's in the midst of talking, she takes a baseball bat, which really looked like a swiffle bat or something. Like, that's what it looked like. It looked like a wiffle bat or something. And knocks him out. And blood splatter was everywhere. I mean, blood splatter everywhere. And she goes and and she just drives. She said she just drove and drove and drove. Drove and whatever. And like, she calls her friend Sarah and she says, I killed him. I killed him. And I'm like, whoa. And, you know, and it's crazy. And it shows blood splatter on Grace, blood splatter everywhere. And he's dead. And she pushed him down the stairs and left him in the basement. Well, fast forward. She says, but the thing is, there was no body. At first, they speculated that her son had helped her. Her son and Sarah helped remove the body, and she was covering for them. This is where it takes a turn. In court, they're going back and forth. They finally question Sarah. And Sarah was like, you know, she's a good person. She fed the church. She was no way a killer. You know, but then they ask her, prosecutor, whatever, the defense team, or no, the other team asks, you know, would she be a murderer? Did she murder him? Did she say that I killed him? And she says, I'm sorry, Grace. Yes. She said she killed him. And they basically gave her a harsh sentence. And her Grace's son is there crying. And I'm trying to figure out how they got reconnected. They don't show that, but he's obviously visibly upset and crying. And what happens before that, the prosecution had rest. The defense had rested. All parties had rested. And Jasmine comes back up because she's really trying to fight this case. Because every tactic she's doing to try to prove that Grace didn't kill him because there was no body. It was just circumstantial evidence, or that the body was moved, whatever. She tries to call Sarah back to the stand and she gets thrown in jail for contempt of court. And her husband is like, babe, just tell the judge, sorry, so you can go home. But before that, there were some issues with the phone records. And Roy berates her. He says, how did you overlook that? She said, I reviewed everything. You just handed me the case. I just got this two weeks ago. And Tyler Perry's character, Roy, is like, I watched you as you did it. You know, you overlooked it. And I'm like, dang it, Roy, why didn't you at least try to help her? Her husband's supporting her. And then her husband tells her, he was like, babe, sorry, you're so hard on yourself, but you're not listening to feedback. And they go back and forth. And we back to her being held in contempt of court. So she's in jail. Roy and the rest of the public defender's office finish off the trial. And Grace. I'd probably call to Hannah a few times. Grace is sitting there just recalling her life, recalling the events that led her up to this point. And her mind goes back to when Shannon took some pictures of her while she was in bed working. And she's putting two and two together. And she's recalling seeing the necklace that Shannon had on. Sarah is wearing it, leading us to believe that they might be lovers. My best friend sleeping with my man. That's jacked up. Okay. Well, another flashback when they were at the house. They go back to when they were at the house and Shannon comes in and they were arguing. Which I'm like, how could you be best friends with this woman and not know she had a son? She goes in and they talk, and when she walks out, they bump hands, which would suggest that they are lovers. And she says, guard, call my lawyer. Call my lawyer. Well, Jasmine goes back to the house to talk to Miss Sarah, check up on her, because something is off. And we don't know if Grace talked to Jasmine or what. That's left out. And Jasmine is walking into the house and she sees Cicely Tyson's character walking. And Cicely Tyson is like, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back there. I'm scared. Don't make me go back there. And she's talking as if she's traumatized, not necessarily someone with dementia or something. She's like, I want to go back to my house. And she gets her back in the house, fix her some water. And she says, Cicely Tyson reaches out and says, oh, my address is 2989 Sycamore. And, excuse me, y'all, I've been drinking some soda. When she says Sycamore, it rings a bell. So, instead of calling the police, what have you, Jasmine goes into the basement and starts investigating, and she sees all of these women chained up and locked up. And all of a sudden, you see Shannon come out of nowhere and grab her from behind. And it flips to a scene with her husband arresting a guy. He's like, don't move. He's handcuffing the guy, and he gets a message, get a call. He says, yo, he gets a thing on his walkie-talkie and says, yo, check your computer right now. It's a mugshot of Shannon and his mother, Sarah. And he goes to the house, to Sarah's house, and he's like, Sarah gets home. Sarah's like, where are you? Sarah's like, hey, how are you? He's like, have you seen my wife? He's like, I'm just doing a checkup and everything. But my wife said that she was coming to see you. Have you seen her? She was like, no. Do you have a warrant? And he calls his wife's phone and hears it ringing. And it's all panic. But let's stop. If you look at the dishwasher, tell me why there's a wood fixture with just the top panel, the controls of a dishwasher glued on. A piece of wood to look like a dishwasher, but it's not even a dishwasher model or set. It just looked like something somebody put together. Mind you, when Grace and Shannon were in the restaurant, this man was sitting there eating and he has food on his plate, but he's fake eating, like eating air and drinking air. I'm like, do y'all not see this? But back to what I was saying. But when Jasmine sees Cicely Tyson, she says, Gladys jumped off the roof and I don't want to stay here. Gladys killed herself. Gladys jumped off the roof. So the officer busts in the door, kicks the door open with his fine self. And him and Sarah face off. They fighting and he handcuffs her. And instead of him putting her in the patrol car, or something, she gets away. And he goes down there and sees his wife. And she's telling him, no, don't come to me. Shannon and her husband are fighting. And some way, Jasmine busts through the door and breaks the chair. And grabs her husband's gun. And shoots Shannon, assuming that he's dead. So we find out that Shannon didn't die, but I'm like, for all that blood spatter and how she beat him with that bat, he should be dead if he lost all that blood. And it was thrown down the steps and stuff. So, yeah, we don't see how he survived. But this is a Tyler Perry movie, just go with it. That's why Tyler Perry needs a writer's room, like for real. And he needs to hire some better costume designers. He needs to hire some costume designers. There's plenty of stylists in Atlanta, in the local area, that want to work with him. Plenty of other actresses. Plenty of talented Black writers that can write a script that tells a good story, that tells a plot that doesn't have too many loopholes. You know, we're still trying to figure out how Taraji got on the boat from Acrimony, honey. For real. But that's none of my business. That's none of my tea. So, as we go forward, you know, they are fighting, doing their thing, whatever, and what have you, and whatnot. And it flashes forward to them getting all of these elderly women out of the house. And we come to find out that Grace has been sentenced. And they come to find out that Sarah's name was really Betty Miller. Her son's name is Shane Miller. They were a mother and son duo. Mother and son duo. That were preying on elderly women and conning them out of their money, taking their houses, taking their assets. And they racked up millions. And it's assumed that Shannon was going to jail, but you see him with his head bandaged up in the basement. And they announced that Betty is still on the run. Okay, the judge and prosecutors and lawyers and stuff and the state, wherever they are, apologized to Grace for locking her up. And she's free to go. She's a free woman. So at the end of the movie, we see Felicia Rashad's character talking to another woman, getting ready to take care of this woman who was very prominent in finance, very wealthy woman with a different wig. And I'm thinking to myself, how could this woman not be aware of what's going on and not catch that this is Betty Miller? And number one, like, really? How did she get out those handcuffs? How did she get away? So I'm like, yeah, for Tyler Perry, it is what it is. And I'm not knocking the brother. He's had some phenomenal work, but it's starting to get mediocre in the same storyline all the time. This is why people had an issue with Tyler Perry saying, oh, I don't have a writer's room. It is okay to have a writer's room. Some of the greatest writers out there will collaborate, let people know what they want, what they see, their vision. We can go biblically. Anytime there was a vision, the vision wasn't carried on by one's own self. They always had help with the vision. It's okay to get help with your vision, but make sure it's the right kind of help and somebody that won't try to sabotage your vision. And I think that's what Tyler Perry is afraid of, that somebody is going to sabotage and or ruin his vision. But I'm like, yo, dude, you need to get some help. Like, you're embarrassing yourself. And granted, he's appealing to a certain demographic. Those that are the baby boomers, those that were grew up in the 70s, those that are older people that grew up in times that are not as open-minded, that hold on to ways of patriarchy, misogyny, different things like that, church-going people, evangelical people, stuff like that. So he's reaching a demographic that he knows is going to make him money, even some of the younger generation. Now, I support Black business, but I'm not above giving critique on how to improve. And I done spent like 40-something minutes or better explaining this movie. But the plot, I get. The movie has some high points, some low points, some air eating, and questions that still need to be answered in too many loopholes. And I want to see Betty or Sarah get justice. Like, for real, we don't have any updates as to what happened with the public defender's office, whether Jasmine is still a lawyer, or whether Grace found love again, whether she was able to rebuild her life. And, you know, this is the thing that we were talking about on social media. We're not knocking Tyler Perry. We're proud of what he's done. But it is okay to have a writer's room. It's okay to collaborate. You don't have to brag that you did all of this by yourself. And it may be an insecurity. It may be, and it, I feel like it adds to the mindset that grind so hard, you got this, you can do this all by yourself, to where it's harmful. And then how he stereotypes Black women and tries to act like the man is their savior, when sometimes Black women are men's savior. And not even that, how he depicts and depicts women, people that are LGBT. Yes, he built a shelter for LGBT youth. But he always depicts the down low man in a certain way or makes certain homophobic jokes in the past. And it's like, yo. And one thing that kind of turned me off from Tyler Perry a while ago for some time was how he depicted, granted it took place in the 80s, early 90s, The Temptations of a Marriage Counselor, how, actually it was more modern than people want to recognize if you look at it, how he depicted the character living with HIV afterwards, when now, granted that's a misconception, you know, but anyway. And I look at all of that. These are things that I look at. If it's a period piece, I get it. But if it's not a period piece, I don't get it, you know? And for certain things that Tyler Perry does, it yes, it can be improved on. Like with the have and have not, certain things can improve on. Improve your wigs, first off. Improve your set. Improve, you know, my thing is, he took 5 days to shoot this, but I'm like, why didn't you shoot this for 5 months? Why didn't you call a team of writers if you're pitching this to Netflix? Because this is an embarrassment to Black people, if you ask me. That's just my personal opinion. Y'all can fight me on it. I really don't care. Granted, it's an okay movie. I'm not going to say it's bad or an excellent movie. It's an okay movie. But seeing those mistakes and gaffes is a no-no. And then to see the repetitive storyline, stories that he's done before, seeing a play turn into a movie is like an obvious mess ups, obvious no-nos, obvious prop mishaps. Like, yeah, you need some better editors. You need some better directors. You need better everything. One man cannot do it alone. One man cannot do it by himself. That's like me producing music. You can't do this by yourself. When I create podcasts, it's a lot of groundwork that I do myself, but it takes other people helping me as well. So Tyler, I'm proud of you, but it's always room for improvement. And I guess he's used to playing on the Chitlin circuit, but let's reach a wider range of people. All Black women are not downtrodden. All Black men ain't dogs. Do a transgender storyline. Let's talk about how Black trans women are being killed just for being them. How about you do that? How about you actually interview people? Go out in the streets and talk to people. And now we see a lot of Black women having issues with Tyler Perry. A lot of Black men having issues with Tyler Perry. A lot of people having issues. And we're not throwing shade on him. We're just giving him some constructive criticism. And that's my review of A Fall from Grace. What's your take on it? Y'all sound off. Live, love, and be free from the priestess. Smooches!